Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards. I want to be down with the
kids. Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here with us, you're more than welcome. We got Rick Venturi is going to join us today, former NFL coach and Colts radio analyst. We'll talk to him about this big game. This is one of the biggest games in NFL history, this Colts and Texans matchup this Sunday.
It's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, who's the play-by-play on this one?
Mark Vandermeer.
No. For the national on CBS, it was. Remember, Aaron Ian Eagle it yesterday.
Jay Feely's doing color.
Yeah, Ian Eagle.
I have to look up
Spiro.
The name.
Spiro.
Spiro. Yeah. If I'm Spiro and Jay Feely, I'm looking at my career right now and going, I don't know how long this is going to.
You got to start from the. Started from the bottom.
When you get when they hand out those assignments, hey, you guys get the Colts and Texans.
Let's be real, though. That's been Spiro's call for a while now.
Yeah.
It's not his first Texans.
Or do you look at it because, hey, it's an easy paycheck. I get to call a half-assed game basically on a high school level and
Yeah, but you want to have something that you can, you know.
Yeah, you want to play in Division
One. You want Alabama
A&M. You like to be in the Power Five. You don't want to have to be in the, you know, like, oh,
is Alabama A&M a better gig than
when
Texans,
your goal is
Colts?
To be, when your goal is to call a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're calling a game in Division III Grinnell.
Yeah, right.
Grinnell versus Knox, and there's not even stands on one side of the field. That's not what you want.
So no. Alabama A&M, the numbers came in a couple days ago. Over 8 million viewers.
Yeah.
Texans Colts. Half that or less?
Well, that was a national telecast.
Oh, yeah,
Texans,
no,
Colts,
way less. Than,
between both
way
cities.
Less than that.
Less than 4 million.
1.5?
Maybe. Oh, no. You
got, no, it's that's a, less. That's
A&M,
only,
Alabama Houston, is a much better gig. Much better gig.
1-3. Yeah, well, one was a national, so you're going to automatically, your eyes available are much
bigger.
Yeah,
this is a regional.
This is
and
regional
this is two,
between two markets.
And
one that doesn't care about the football team that much anymore. And the Colts do, but they're not. It's not like they're killing it.
And it's a small
market
anyway.
We've got the
anyway.
Astros going on, too, right now. Not Sunday.
No.
But still, we'll be tired from Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to be exhausted from Friday and Saturday. Anyway, so we got.
And we'll have, the weather's going to be phenomenal on Sunday. 75 degree high. It's going to be beautiful. People are going to be like, should I stay inside and watch the
idiot.
Texans?
Yeah.
Or should I be out in 75 degree low humidity? Like, I know what my choice is going to be. Grind on the Texans.
So for reference, Panthers Texans Thursday night game, which they were boasting had huge ratings, only had 7.39 million.
Well, that is pretty big for that game.
For that game, yeah, compared to Alabama A&M.
I would have never thought that
no,
game would get 7.
I would have put that on.
Now, did you see NFL ratings up like 19% this
year? Yeah, yeah.
It's killed. The NFL's back killing
it. I saw some people trying to make comments about the stupid NFL. It was like a political guy said they're ratings are continue to plummet. No one's going to the
incorrect.
Games, and like, actually, the ticket sales are up. They're obviously not up in Houston. Well, they continue to be 69,000 in Houston. Not that there's people there, but yeah, the TV ratings are way up this year.
Yeah, I couldn't see how empty was the stadium.
Mick Maynard told me Mickey was there from UFC and a season ticket holder, and he thinks it was. I said, "What do you think?" He goes, I said, 60%, 70%? He goes, not 70. He said, probably 60, 65%
full. Yeah.
I said, that's probably
that's not bad for them. That's really nice.
I think that's. Although he did say, you know, he's been a season ticket holder for a few years. He says the lowest he ever remembers seeing.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, I don't know about ever. That Monday night game against the Colts where nobody was there. And when they were, remember, this is when they were winning the 9 in a row.
Well, it was Thursday night.
Oh, Thursday night.
Yeah, game, but I was at that game, and I thought there was more people. I was in the lower bowl in that one. I thought there was definitely more people than I saw in the stands for the game last game. And this game against the Colts, well, no, it's on the road. Who do they come back against? I don't know that it matters.
I don't know. Who cares? You mean looking ahead?
The Texans. Yeah, looking ahead.
We're looking ahead.
Okay. All right, are we done Texans yet?
Yeah, we're done.
No. We'll have a little bit more Texans. We'll look at the Colts with Rick Venturi, who's their color commentator. Used to be their interim head coach, defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Former coach who works for the team now. I have some communications with Rick from time to time. We talk about draft stuff. Good guy. Should be a fun conversation at 7:30. Right now, you know, the concern right now for Houston is Lance McCullers. We don't have any specific verified information on Lance McCullers. The team has not released anything. Lance McCullers has not said anything. I can tell you that there's beginning to be some drips of bad Lance McCullers info coming out from Twitter from people like Ross Bolin, who I've known Ross for a little bit just through Twitter, and I don't know why he would say that unless he had it. I know he's an Astros fan and a Houston sports fan, but he did not say where he got it. He might be friends with some people on the team. I don't know. I'm hoping it's wrong, but he said Lance McCullers will be out for the playoffs. Once again, somebody on Twitter, I want to make sure that we, you know, make sure we source where it's coming from so you understand whether or not you go all in on this. But I can just tell you that, John, you were at Chicago. I know that there was some, maybe around the team, there was some concern about it. There was not one of these, hey, it was, listen, he could have. And I heard this from Twitter. A couple of people said, oh, Lance said he could have gone another inning. It was no big deal. Just, I don't remember hearing him say that. And I don't think Lance was all that. No one's going to know his body better than Lance. Wouldn't Lance have come out within the last 2 days and just said, no, everything's going to be fine. This is precautionary.
Yeah, and he's not saying that.
He's not saying that. I mean, Strom was out there praying.
Thoughts and prayers.
Stromy went thoughts and prayers, and if he can't go, we got the rest of the pitchers will pick him up. Like, if he can't go, Stromy.
So Ross Bolin tweeted yesterday that, you know, the Astros' depleted rotation is going to be a problem. He doesn't have a blue check mark, so you can't believe him. Mm-hmm. You can't believe anybody without a blue check mark.
Ross doesn't have a... No, if that's the same Ross Bolin.
He does not.
Total frat move. That was his website that he created. I'm pretty sure Ross created that one.
So anyway, he said this, and unfortunately,
bad news, blue check mark.
He has a blue check mark?
Yeah. I thought he did.
Now you can believe him. Oh, crap. I don't want to believe that. He said that it is a depleted rotation, so this is a problem, unfortunately, for the Houston Astros. I don't know. We'll see. You know, anytime you're talking about elbow or forearm, it immediately is concerning for a baseball pitcher. You know what? The Astros can still beat the Red Sox without him. They can.
Are you sure it's Ross Bolin? Because I'm looking at his Twitter, and I don't see it from Ross where he said that.
I think that the tweet was deleted.
I think it was, because I'm looking.
Bolin. Is that wide receiver Bolin?
Yeah, W.R. Bolin.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the...
Yeah, he's deleted the tweet. Because, look, it says Roosh retweeted it and says, this tweet was deleted by the tweet author.
Yeah.
So he has deleted it since.
Good.
Maybe he caught a bunch of business.
Or maybe he
was just saying that it was a depleted rotation.
Or maybe he got information that he wasn't supposed to put out there. Or maybe he made a comment and maybe somebody from the Astros reached out and said, you've got bad information. Lance is doing great.
Or maybe he just thought everybody was like, are you saying that he's not going to pitch? And he was like, oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's a depleted rotation, however he phrased it. And that's a no-no, since there is no confirmation from anyone that McCullers is out. So that's where we are with that. I'll tell you where we are with the Red Sox and talking. Another Houston guy. Now, this isn't nearly as reckless as Tapera was. This isn't nearly as Rodon was. Nathan Eovaldi, who's from here. He's not from Brazoswood, right? Like, isn't that where Is that where Tapera's from? Brazoswood, is that what we said?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't even know where Brazoswood is. There's a Brazoswood High School, isn't there, that's in the city?
Yeah.
I don't want to look at that. What are you
doing? You want to look at this?
No, I don't want to look. What are you doing?
I'm just forcing John to look at pictures in the middle of it that he didn't want to see.
So
you have Brazoswood, you have Brazosport.
Yeah, I don't
you
know
have two of those schools down there.
Yeah.
And he got reckless. Ivaldi this time is
Ivaldi is from here, though.
He's from Alvin.
Alvin. No,
I mean, it's kind of that way. Yeah. It's kind of that way.
Well, it's kind of.
That's home of Nolan Ryan.
Like Del. Well,
that's right, because it was all the Nolan Ryan stuff when Del
is from Alvin. So I don't know that that's.
Del is from Alvin now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's home of. That's home of Nolan Ryan and Reed Ryan.
Yeah.
Do you really want to start being reckless with your words with Nolan Ryan?
You don't want to be from there.
Although
because
Nolan Ryan is off the. Nolan and Reed had a falling out with the Astros, so I guess that's not.
Well, no, but he's still Nolan Ryan, legend, one of the great pitchers of all time.
He's still.
You don't want to be from Alvin because it's always going to be from where Nolan Ryan was from, not Nate Eovaldi. I said to no one's going to say that, right? So
you're giving him
bulletin board. They're not changing the sign when you drive into Alvin.
No, welcome to Nate Eovaldi country. No, nobody's saying that. He said this. Yeah, they have a tendency of rubbing guys the wrong way. I don't necessarily hate any team, but they're not high up on my list. Nate Eovaldi on the Astros. This was via WEEI's The Greg Hill Show. The Greg Hill Show. I don't think it's inflammatory, but I do think Carlos is going to pound his chest and say, this ain't Eovaldi time. This is my time, right? When he hits him and when he crushes one and comes up with a big two out, two strike hit, let's go. All right, let's go. Carlos, there's a little motivation for you. Go get him. Go get Nate Eovaldi, Carlos, after those fighting words. I guess that's all we can come up with, I guess. We've got to have something.
But what are they going to say now?
So
bad information bad facts. I want that cut, by the way, where Carlos, unfortunate comments with no facts or whatever. Well, I want that for John when he's reckless with his commentary. Whatever. As soon as I heard it, I thought, oh, that's a drop. As soon as Carlos, unfortunate comment with bad facts.
That's perfect.
No, yeah. I just want that when he answers Tom Verducci, that very beginning. Do you know how often that can be used on this show? We can use it so many times.
Banging the Can had this to say. Hearing the Astros will be dealing with major hole in their pitching lineup during the Red Sox series. Not good. Going to need a lot of runs to get back to the World Series.
Okay, who is banging the can? What's the person's name?
Now, that doesn't have a... There's no blue check mark.
What's
the
person's name?
No one knows. Banging the Can. It's Houston Sports Takes and Humor delivered by at wide receiver Bolin. But it's not a blue check mark. Apologies not included. That's where he came up with it. Not in at his regular site.
That must
banging
be his
the
podcast.
Can. So I don't know. I'm
already preparing for no Lance McCullers. So if I get Lance McCullers, I'll be happy. If we don't, I was already thinking about like, okay, Fromber's got to turn into Fromber, and it's going to be Zach Greinke. Urquidy's going to have to be his best version of himself, and you just need Luis Garcia not to suck. You're going to score a lot of runs. I don't know what to tell you. That's a red hot lineup over there. You're going to have to score a lot of runs. You're going to have to put runs up.
At wide receiver Bolin.
Some people asked.
Well, I don't know. WR. That's wide receiver. It was a post on Twitter. Blah 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 blah. And Ross Bolin says it's not a rumor. He texted me directly. So if that is the case, if he did,
I told you I thought he knew Lance. So it's probably not.
Banging the Can is they Houston Sports Takes and Humor guys. Delivered by. At wide receiver Bolin. Apologies not included. But apparently, if Lance did text him directly, I don't know. I will see.
I don't think he's lying.
I don't think he's lying either.
I don't think Ross is
lying.
And
I think it's probably.
Like I said, I know Ross a little bit, and he knows some of the Astros. I don't think this is
lying. And listen, it's more than likely, when you heard about this to begin with, and he leaves in the fourth inning.
That didn't make sense.
The favorite was going to be he's not pitching again.
Well, when they said forearm tightness,
yes,
that's just such an innocuous sounding thing. It's just a little tightness in his forearm. Oh, okay. I mean, I've had that before. You know, you just kind of rub on this little thing right here, and you're good.
I've got some elbow problems from golf.
Forearm tightness, you know what it means in pitching vernacular? Yeah. You're out for the next year.
Yeah.
Like Lance, has already had. This is a really scary
thing. But he said
thing.
It doesn't feel like the ligament. He said it does not feel like the ligament. So that's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
Well, then what are we looking
that's
at?
That's what
then?
He said. He knows what the
he
Tommy
had
John,
Tommy John.
He knows
has
that.
Anyone ever had to have double Tommy Johns? You can't, right?
Let me call my daughter. She's a doctor of psychology.
Well, they took, I did the podcast with them. I'm pretty sure he said they take something from another part of your body and add it here, and it's supposed to be better than ever. He altered. Obviously, you can tell he altered his mechanics and arm slot and things like that. I thought this is not going to – why are we getting a Chris Paul?
When we come back,
why are we getting
Carlos,
Chris Paul?
Carlos did a very telling interview in Spanish that was translated, and we'll be able to
– you want
to
hear this.
Do some of this. Do some of this on the other side, what Carlos had to say about Jim Crane and money. That'll happen. But right now, okay, so you can bet on whether or not – I don't know if you can bet on whether or not Carlos Correa is going to be back with the Astros, but you can bet on just about everything at MyBookie. It really is unbelievable all of the stuff that you could do at mybookie.ag. Promo code bet975. It doesn't matter if you've played before, playing now, have never played, you got you deposit $1,000, they'll match that at mybookie.ag. Promo code bet975 up to $1,000. You can deposit as much as you want. If you like to play big, that's all right. They'll take your big plays. And that's just fine. If you got some big plays for them, no problem. It doesn't matter. Right now, the Texans are plus 10 against the Indianapolis Colts at Indianapolis. That's an interesting line. Which way do you think it's going to go? All of the NFL bets, all of the college football bets, live betting during games, casino betting, racing, any blackjack. You want to bet on your Astros. You could do all of it. You want to bet on boxing, golf, soccer, whatever it is. You got it all at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
G'day mates, this is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats!
The Houston Astros battled the Boston Red Sox in the American League Championship Series. And each game-changing moment can be found right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Game 1 begins Friday at 7. Now, back to the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you've got anything that you want to get in here, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang with us here. Carlos Correa, we've been talking about this. Pay that man his money for a while now. And Carlos knows it. Carlos is hearing it. Carlos says that actually that's putting pressure on Jim Crane. Here's some transcripts from an interview that he did in Spanish with, I don't know who did the interview, but it was translated by Sporty Nori. Sporty Nori translated it. And here's what Sporty Nori had to say of the what Carlos had said in the interview. How much do you like the fact that the Astros owner has begun saying that they're possibly going to keep you? How much do you like hearing that from the organization? It's good to hear, but like the businessman that he is, being one of the best and smart, the pressure from the fans is hard to face. You go to the ballpark in a game and the fans are screaming, pay the man. So you'd feel the pressure, like to silence the fans. So it's like, hey, say something so they shut up. So you don't believe it to be true. No, I told you. In the first interview we did, that I don't think it's possible considering the way they disrespected me at the beginning. I don't think they'll increase much from there. And after the season I had in these playoffs, the value has increased. So I don't know up to what point he's willing to go. What I do know is that there are other teams interested, and they all use the words all in after me. So I don't know if he makes me an offer that's fair to both sides. We'll consider it. You always say that they disrespected you, and I think that when you're disrespected, then their offer would have to be over what you would expect. So you can say, all right, I can overlook the disrespect and stay. And Carlos says, no, he talks about the taxes in L.A. and the taxes in Houston. He said it's going to be an economic decision. It goes on and on. So that's basically what he says. Hey, listen, I'll take more money, even if I'll take less money in Houston because more money in L.A. is just going to go to taxes, your agent, and state taxes, national taxes.
That's
and
the
state
first taxes. Time I've heard an athlete openly talk about the tax situation. Look, New York and California are extraordinarily penal when it comes to taxes. Do you know California came after me and was hounding me for a bunch of money? I live here, but because NFL Network is there, they're like, I don't know. And like, no, I live here. I file here. What days are here? So I had to pay taxes for the days that I flew into California.
Mm-hmm.
Man, those people are, and I was doing research on it, and they say it's called the California Franchise Board or something like that. It's their tax. And I Googled their names reading. They are notoriously the biggest bullies. Yeah, but I had to have somebody step in and help me. They were like, you owe us 7,000. I owe you $7,000. I ended up paying them like $400.
Did I have surgery there?
I ended up paying $400. They're like, sorry, if we don't get it, we're going to have somebody come down there and start giving you some of this.
Oh, yeah?
And we're going to take
you. A fresh one?
I'm like, it was like the mob was coming. Like, you know what? Maybe a day that you have to go to work. Maybe you don't turn the key. Maybe you don't turn the key on your car. I'm like, well, it's an automatic start, sir. I just pushed that button. Maybe you don't push that button. I'm like, are you a... You're just tax collectors from California. Why are you threatening me like the mob? Maybe you didn't hear. We get our money.
So
Carlos, I will tell you, obviously, New York is the most heavily taxed. Then comes California. They're in the same. And Carlos, luckily, is thinking about this like, yeah, that money ain't the same. Their numbers aren't the same as what you see is not what you get.
No.
I'm glad Carlos is thinking that way.
Yeah, well, and he is. And it's interesting to see that Carlos has mentioned the word disrespect a few times.
And that first offer was...
Well, it was $120 was the offer that they made to him. And that's interesting in that it's just, you know, it's so far below what Lindor was. Jim Crane is notorious for his... Listen, 6 years for Jim Crane is a lot. That is a lot for Jim Crane. So for him to be giving to be offering that is very interesting. That he would go 6 years.
First of all, shut up, Clint. Oh, no state tax in Arlington. Shut up.
What is wrong with you, Clint?
We can't trust this guy.
I can't trust anything.
And you have to live in Arlington.
So you have to live in. That's exactly right. So. So Carlos Correa, here's the deal. He's making $11.7 this year, right? He, in 2020, you'll remember last year, or no, it was 2019 because 2020 was the COVID year. In 2019, Carlos went to arbitration. This organization, I don't want to say has disrespected Carlos, but this organization has not given him, when they were paying... Before Alex Bregman was even due, when he was still under team control, the same stuff that Jordan is making $600,000 now, Tucker's making $600,000 now. The team went. Bregman came to camp and he goes, "Oh, really? I'm playing here." And they went, "Oh, no. Here's $100 million over the next 5 years. Okay, so you're happy. $20 million a year." Carlos,
which is what they offered Carlos.
Well. No, they offered him 120 over six, which is, 20 a year. But not in 2019. Carlos said, "I'm worth $5 million." The organization said, "No, you're worth $4,250,000." Oh, and they went to arbitration over $750,000.
I'm just, this has been, and this is the problem you get when you deal. And it's not really a problem. I want to try to be consistent, and I want to be as fair about this as possible. One of the reasons that you can have a sustained longevity, a sustained window that is open for success is because of the analytics approach and approach of understanding value of player contracts and things like that. And maybe the Astros not being involved with Carlos Correa, it'll be painful in the short term, maybe, and it'll be beneficial in the long term. Maybe that will be the case. I can tell you this. because we saw it with Daryl Morey. Remember when Daryl Morey showed up? I always go back to this because it blew me away. Daryl Morey shows up to Martine Gortat's house at 12:01 or 11:01 maybe. It's 12 Eastern time. Free agency. Hello, Martine Gortat, open door. Hello. Hey, it's me, Daryl Morey. Beep, 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 boop, 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 and all the computer noises. Like, we've got you a new, brand new iPad. It's when iPads were fairly new. We got you this new iPad. Oh, thank you. It's very nice for you to give me iPad. What? So you have my money? And Daryl goes, well, we have mid-level exception. Okay, that's what I was, but it's not full mid-level. We're only giving you like $4.5 million. We're not even going to give you a full mid-level. He's like, you'll not even give me full mid-level? But, no, because our value structure and our numbers say you're actually like a 4.6. But I did get you this early,
an iPad.
Early iPad. So what about that? And he's like, well, I can buy iPad with full mid-level. And so we didn't get, and I'll never forget thinking, my God, he is that hardcore that he would show up at a guy's house and wouldn't even go full mid-level. Daryl wouldn't even go full mid-level. You know why? Because when analytics guys, and I got a friend who, you know, is with Tampa, these guys, there's a number. And I'm sorry, this is what the number is, and I don't think they're going to pay Carlos.
I don't think that's Jim Crane. I don't think he's using analytics that hard. I think Jim Crane is.
When you go 4.25?
I don't do more than five. He extended. He prepaid Bregman 5 years. He paid. He extended Altuve.
John, 4.275 versus 5 million. That's when analytics is saying this is the number. Yeah, if you're gonna bitch over 700,000,
but this is how they've been with Carlos since the beginning.
And they pissed off who else that left?
Springer.
That's right. Yeah. They pissed off both these guys. You got to look at that. You got to look at that model. I'm not saying you want to just be stupid with your money, but don't piss guys off.
All right, Rick Venturi next. We're going to talk Colts Texans. Does it get any better than that this week?
Nope.
I know the Astros are in the ALCS, but it's Colts Texans, one of the biggest games in NFL history, and we'll talk to Rick Venturi about it next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 732 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Rick Venturi, former NFL coach and Colts radio analyst, joining us this morning to talk about this matchup on Sunday. Rick, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you guys doing? Looking forward to this game. I'm glad it's a short week after that disaster, after that debacle fourth quarter on Monday. At least it's a short week, so there wasn't any time to linger on it.
Debacle fourth quarter, Rick, could mean it's good to talk to you in person. Rick and I will text from time to time around draft season. It's a good, you know, when you say debacle fourth quarter, we don't know if you're talking about Texans and Patriots or Colts and Ravens. A double fourth quarter debacle
well,
is headed into this.
Well, people actually watched the Colts.
Well, that's fair.
Ravens.
And frankly, bigger debacle.
Yeah, it really.
Frankly, it was a bigger debacle.
How was that plane ride home?
Well, you know, first of all, Southwest Airlines killed us over the weekend. We were ready to go and actually shut out, so we had to revert. And we did it very quickly and I think effectively, but we reverted back to our remote broadcast from last week. So I have to say, if I missed one thing, you know, preferably it was the plane ride home. But, you know, it was very difficult, you know, and I think it was difficult, Lance, in this sense, is that we really played so well for, you know, the majority of three quarters. I mean, we basically were the better prepared team. We outplayed them. I think Baltimore thought it was going to be, you know, they were going to start with a 14-point lead. And our offense was, you know, put on one of the great performances, really, in the last decade, including the Luck era, you know, banged up as we were, but put 513 yards on the field. I thought Wentz was terrific. I thought that Frank called a terrific game from beginning to end on offense. He had I'm not going to say Baltimore's a great defense because they're not, but they're very solid defense, and basically he kept them off balance all night right to the end. We had the kicking fiasco. If we just make one extra point or one field goal or don't get one blocked, it doesn't even go into overtime, but that's all part of the game. But, you know, basically it's a collapse defensively of historic proportions in this franchise. You have to go back to 83, and I was on the other end of that one, so I'm old enough to have seen both of them. So it was a real debacle on defense in the last quarter plus 2 minutes.
Colts are really not that the Texans. Well, I don't know. Maybe the Texans can take advantage of this because Davis Mills, the rookie, is coming off a 312-yard passing game with three touchdowns, and the Colts right now, they've gone from injured to more injured as the secondary. You know, you had practice squad guys out there in that game against and frankly, I thought Matt Eberflus, your defense coordinator, was just way too conservative for too long in that one. But give us an idea of what's going on with the Colts secondary right now from an injury standpoint.
Well, yeah, where they're really banged up is at corner. You know, they finally got Rhodes back, and so Rhodes and Moore were the starters, and then Rogers, who's our kick return guy, was kind of the fourth corner with Yasin over. I mean, it's amazing to me that I want Yasin in the game. That's incredible. You know, but by the end of the game, you know, we had guys that, you know, had been with us in training camp. One guy wasn't even with us. And so, you know, it's a mess. I'm not sure where we're going to be. Rhodes is still in the concussion protocol. We should get Rogers back. But you mentioned we've had a structural problem here. If you want to be an MVP candidate at quarterback, you want to come through Indianapolis. If you look at the numbers that we've given up over 4 years, not just one quarter, we have a structural program in that, you know, we play a very conservative, I would say, remedial zone defense underneath and basically never match patterns. And so, you know, things get going like that, they're wide open. Despite our corner problems, I mean, most of the yardage was numbers to numbers, and it was wide open. So, you know, I haven't been a former defensive coach. That's really hard for me to watch.
We got Rick Venturi. He is the Colts radio analyst right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got him for a franchise. If he's a franchise quarterback, you got him on the cheap. Is he proving that he is the franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz?
Yeah, you know, I really like the deal when Chris made it. You know, I think the kid has it all. You know, we've seen the high in 17 when he was injured. He had the best QBR in the National Football League. You know, and when we saw the decline and we saw it falling off the cliff in 2020, you know, basically the last 2 weeks and 3 weeks ago, he played on two ankles that were just awful and basically had the courage to hang in there and play all day. But really, in the last 2 weeks, he has played much more like 17 than 20. You know, he had a terrific game. The thing that Wentz can do is he can do it all physically. I mean, he's a gunner. He can stick it. He can touch it when he has to. He has great mobility, better mobility than I ever thought. I mean, he can get out on the edge and make a play. He can ad lib and make a play. And what I really like about him is he can throw from any platform whatsoever. And so, you know, to put up 513 yards, 400 yards passing, you know, in that venue against that defense is really amazing. And so, you know, I'd say the three best things we have going this week is, one, it was a short week. Two is Carson Wentz. And three, the possibility of Hilton playing. So, you know, that would be a big shot in the arm if that came through.
Yeah, so T.Y. Hilton, who's been out all year long, is supposed to return to practice. We know that right now, and this is not even hyperbole, T.Y. Hilton has more receiving yards against one single team, the Texans, than any receiver in NFL history against another team. It's an astonishing, based on a certain amount of games. So he'll be back. But I think, you know, one of the things that is another element that is going to be a potential issue for the Colts but wasn't in the last game is the offensive line play. You've got some guys who are really beat up and injured, guys who are missing time. But I thought they played their best game of the year easily on Monday. I am curious, though, to watch Lovie Smith's defense attacking front to see how Lovie attacks the offensive line and Wentz. Because if there is one thing with Wentz that I think can be a concern sometimes, Rick, is that he'll – you know, when the pressure comes, he'll drop his eyes a little bit. Instead of just getting rid of it and moving on to the next play, he takes some unnecessary sacks or near sacks.
I think you're right, Lance, on all those issues. I think Franken is a really good quarterback whisperer in this sense. He did it with Phillip last year. I've seen him do it with Brissett all the way back to Luck. I think he does a really good job of getting a quarterback to buy in that he doesn't have to make every play. And I think in the last 2 weeks, you're right, in Carson's history, that's exactly right. But I think in the last 2 weeks, he's done a good job of knowing when to fold them and, you know when to hold them and know when to fold them, know when to get out of there. And basically, that was a very, very porous offensive line. Now, I think your observation is correct. I think they battled the best that they've been. You know, Fisher is coming. He's gradually coming back a little bit every week at left tackle. You know, admittedly, he was about 80%, and he's battling, you know, after that post-Achilles. His foot fire is getting a little bit better. It's not there. You know, he gets beat sometimes with speed. They injected Pryor over Davenport, and he did a representative job. Now, they helped him. If you don't think you're going to help him, you know, almost every critical down, then you're crazy. And Reed is actually a very, very solid backup for Nelson. And you, even though Nelson is the top player, it's always easier to patch it at guard. So, you know, I do think that the offensive line has played better. But I think the critical issue is, you know, Frank's ability, and we'll see if it's long-term, you know, to get Carson, I guess it's a cliche, but to play within himself and make the plays when they're there.
Rick Venturi here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Rick, so the Texans looked pretty good last week and the Colts just fell apart. Short week, all of those things. But at home against a rookie quarterback, how do you see this going?
Yeah, this is an opportunity. If the Colts want to stay alive, they've got to stay alive in the division. You know, they've come out of a five-week gauntlet. Now, my observation, and I've watched every tape on the Texans, okay, I think they play their two best games in the opener. Obviously, Tyrod had a very good first six quarters of the season. And then I thought they played their next best game last Sunday, you know, losing at the buzzer, obviously not having the production down the stretch, but playing much better. You know, I see them, you know, not a real skilled team, not a real talented team. I think they're talented at running back and their three guys. I think Brandon Cooks is having a terrific year. He's kind of one-dimensional because there's not a lot around him. You know, and I've always really liked, and Lance knows this because we've discussed these things, you know, Davis Mills was my, what I call Morse Reservoir All-Star, which is sleeper player in the draft.
Right.
And he was definitely my number five and clearly my number five after the Big Four. I really liked him coming out of Stanford. And so it doesn't surprise me, you know, that he had that big day, but that's a really, really big day with a not great team. And I think his future is really, really bright. So, you know, the Colts are a little bit better match in this one, I think, on defense. But the most important thing, is the Texans have struggled on defense. They're not real talented, very simple in scheme. A scheme that is a mirror of the one that we play. They're all in the same family, Eberflus and Smith. They're in the same family. So, you know, our offense should certainly be comfortable in attacking this defense.
Rick Venturi, man, we appreciate your time. Great stuff, Rick. Good luck on Sunday, and we'll be watching, that's for sure.
All right. Thank you very much. And Lance, stay in touch.
We will do that, Rick. Appreciate it.
Rick Venturi right here on ESPN 97.
Fun to kind of bounce draft thoughts and evaluation thoughts off a former defensive coordinator, you know, guy with a defensive mind. It's always, you get interesting thoughts. I had one guy, I'm kind of watching this guy, Jason Elway. Do you know who that is? Played at Penn State, number 98 or 99 for Baltimore Ravens. He had a strip sack the other day. He's the one who's at 6 foot, it's like 6'5", 256, ran a 4.440. Like the freakiest athlete in the history of the combine. He and Michael Parsons from the same team for whatever reason. And he had no sacks last year. And I still gave him a pretty high grade because the flashes and the freakiness. Mm-hmm. And Tom Pratt, who was a coach with my dad at Arizona and was at Super Bowl I, number one, Coach Pratt, he's like, Lance, he called, he goes, I usually agree with your stuff because we used to talk when he was with the car. I just don't see it with this guy. I'm interested. I want to see if you hit this one and you beat me on this one. And so I'm watching, like, way watching. And Titus Bowser, by the way, is getting a lot of time also. He's a starter over there for University of Houston. But I'm just watching, like, one guy more than any other rookie this year just to see if I can beat the coach who was at Super Bowl I. And Pratt is still razor sharp, super sharp. Yeah, but talking to these coaches, they tell you, think Pratt will tell you things. What you look for is your third step. If you can get to 4.5 yards up the field on your third step as a rusher, and they'll tell you about if you see a tackle that does this and you see a pass rusher whose right leg is back instead of his left leg, you know what that means is he's setting up his inside counter. Like, it's amazing what these guys see on tape. That's why Rick Venturi is like, I've seen all the Texans tape. You have? That sounds terrible. We have to pay Sage Rosenfels to do that.
We actually do. 745 ESPN 97.5 TJ and Lorenzo. They want to talk about Gruden and Astros and Sox coming your way. We had other callers in there. We'll
and
get
Sox.
You.
Oh, Red Sox.
Red Sox. Yeah, we're playing Sox back to back. And so we got that to do on the other side. Anybody wants to call in, 713-780-3776.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 749 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. These guys have been waiting a while, so let's get them in here. They want to talk. Let's get with TJ first. He wants to talk about our Astros and Red Sox. What's up, TJ?
Hey, not much, guys. It's good to talk to you, and it is good to be in the LCS again. So exciting. I've lived in Houston my whole life, and I've never seen a team that's as exciting or as fun to watch as this Astros team. And they're doing something that has never been – I mean, it's been done so infrequently. We've done something the Big Red Machine didn't do, the Dodgers never did, the Yankees never did, the Cardinals never did, and five straight LCSs. So my advice to Houston Astros fans is let's live in the moment. Let's not worry about if we're going to sign Carlos Correa. Let's just enjoy this run because this team is so special. And as our Lord said, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to take care of itself. I'm super excited about this series. I think for people who love offensive baseball, it's going to be a dandy. And I have a prediction that I think somebody's going to score 10 runs in the series and still manage to lose the game, because I think both teams are so good offensively. And, if McCullers is out, somebody else is going to have to step up, and the offense might just have to carry him. So I'm really, 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 really excited about this. Let's go, Astros. Let's have a great time. Oh, and a question for you guys. Do you have the ESPN 1000 app to listen in on New York radio to see who they're rooting against more? I just can't imagine those poor guys, the Yankees fans, having to choose between the Red Sox or the Astros.
It's got
to
be unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
this is their nightmare.
Father TJ, you don't care.
No.
You don't care who wins, and you've already picked – You're already picking between the three remaining teams in the National League. It ain't going to be Dodgers. It's either going to be Giants or Braves. Because if it's the Dodgers, you're not going to cheer for the Dodgers.
No.
Chances are they're Braves.
Oh, wait a minute. New York right now probably cheers for the Dodgers over the Astros.
Maybe, but they're cheering for the Braves, period.
Yeah.
If it came down to Sox Dodgers or Astros Dodgers, they're cheering Dodgers, I guess.
Yeah. I think this is a tough fight. Who does New York hate more, Astros or Red Sox right now?
Well, they can't cheer like everyone assumes. Well, who you got now, John Boy? It's the Astros and the Red Sox. And I was thinking, oh, that's true. He's going to have to cheer Astros. And I thought, what if it was me? Wait a minute. I wouldn't cheer for anybody. What am I talking about?
No.
If it was basketball. Okay, Lance Rockettrout. It's now the 1990s Utah Jazz or the... 1990s, I mean, the Jazz were as bad as it gets, so I can't even imagine another team that was, like, who did I hate that badly? But you, or the Bad Boys Pistons, like, well, I don't have to cheer, wait a minute, to cheer for anybody.
You have to want somebody over the other, which has more, that's a good question. TJ.
I'm thinking, the Astros eliminate the Yankees often. But I'm thinking it's still the Astros that they'd rather have win than the Red Sox. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
That one's baked in there.
I know
that but one's the, baked. But the my wife, when she told me, and I didn't know this until early 2000s, when she said, "No, Longhorns hate Oklahoma much more than the Aggies," which I didn't know that growing up at all. I didn't know that was a thing. And she said, "No, it's you want to beat Oklahoma even worse than the Aggies." That's when they were all in the Big 12 together. Right. I didn't know that, but it's probably a similar thing because I can tell you this.
She ain't crazy about the Aggies. I don't know.
No, she's not crazy about the Aggies or the Sooners, so it's the same with Yankee fans.
Even this week.
I'll ask my wife, who are you for when the Sooners take on, when you guys are in the SEC and Oklahoma's taking on A&M, who are you for? She's going to say, nobody. I'm not for anybody. Yeah, you don't have to cheer for anybody.
Listen, it was funny. My wife was cheering on them Aggies. She was cheering on them Aggies because they were playing Alabama.
LSU's lost once. What?
To who? A&M?
Yeah.
I mean, but that's starting to turn into it. That's the Thanksgiving Day, rivalry. So I mean,
She ain't
about them Aggies. I'll tell you that.
No, maybe not
when they're playing on Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, let's get Lorenzo in here. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Hey, okay, so DeVore Smith came out and he was basically saying, out of 650,000 emails, like, we want them all released. And my question to you guys is, there's a local baseball team here in Houston that, I forget the name of them, but they got basically crucified by an entire league after a league-wide investigation. And somehow it turned out that this local Houston team was the only team that was doing misdealing. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is, with 650,000 emails on the database, do you see this John Gruden situation becoming an Astros sweep under the rug? Oh, John Gruden was the only person who ever did this in the NFL, and he'll never be taken back, but overall we're good. Do you see this becoming a local Houston baseball team? And to how much of a degree do you see it happening? Do you see next week we're playing football again and nobody even speaks up? Because I actually forgot about the Reds.
That's a great question. What he's for those who aren't following along, what Lorenzo's saying is he believes that the Major League Baseball really didn't investigate any other teams. And if they did have information, they swept it under the rug.
Well, what about the letter that won't even come out yet?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that letter, can the Washington Post, New York Times get on that letter? Can we get on that letter now and start? Can y'all work on that? While you got the 650,000 emails, can you get one letter unsealed? Because I thought it was because a judge ordered it unsealed, and it still hasn't been.
They're still, Major League Baseball still protecting that letter.
Yeah, so what Lorenzo said is,
all the might they have.
100% I agree with them.
Yes.
Now, what he's asking is, do you think the NFL – here's the thing, Lorenzo. I don't think the NFL can fully protect because they have these emails. Like, they've already been released to media outlets. That's how Adam Schefter's catching it. You got to see all the faux outrage for journalism students, people who went to, Missouri or whatever, who graduated in 20 and don't have jobs. Like, I can never take the business serious ever again. You have given us all a black eye. Like, what are you're writing for a fan site somewhere. Stop acting like you're on Schefter's level or that Schefter has somehow ruined your opportunity to be taken seriously. Enough. But to Lorenzo's point, if NFL could sweep it under the rug.
Oh, no. Well, here's.
Do you want all the emails getting out?
So
do you want all of them getting out?
Well, so Derek Carr and DeMora Smith both said, every email. And you know what? Let's open it up to every team. If we're going to crucify one guy in 650,000 emails, the only person in a Washington football team investigation is the Raiders head coach that's going down in this thing.
And he wasn't the head coach at the time.
And he was
He wasn't even the coach.
No, he was working for ESPN. Do you remember when Tom Brady's phone, he threw it away?
Yeah,
he threw it.
Hey, let me see that phone. What, this phone? Oops, I dropped it. Smashed into a million pieces. Smarter.
You know why? Because of stuff like this. He said, you know what will happen? Stuff that has nothing to do with anything is going to be, stuff that's on my phone is going to be leaked. If if David Gao has an investigation here at the station and says, give me your phone, I'd say, hell no. That's my personal phone, and you ain't get. There is absolutely zero chance you're getting my phone with everything that I've got in there, because stuff like this, exactly what Tom Brady said, exactly what he said, things would get leaked. Maybe some, even conversations with his wife, intimate conversations, or whatever it is. It might not even have to be damning or whatever. But there's sensitive information on everybody's phone, stuff that you don't want everybody to see. And yet, what is leaking from this Washington football team is John Gruden. Mm-hmm. Where in the hell is all the information about the Washington football team? Where is that?
Everyone's asking the question, and there really is no answer. Like, at some point, responses and stuff like that, it has to come out,
right?
Do
you think that maybe at the top, at the highest level, the commissioner said, oh, you're going to call me the F word?
Of course I don't think that.
You're going to call me the F word? Watch this, John Gruden.
Of course I don't think that happened.
Mm, you don't?
No.
Okay.
Rodgers be above that stuff.
So your pettiness,
just because you're petty doesn't mean that my commissioner's petty.
So you don't,
John,
think
I'll turn off this would mic. Not have a conversation. You can ask me and I'll bounce
it. This would not happen with The Rock in the XFL. Just trust me, okay? Because The Rock is honorable.
The Rock is not. The Rock would want this storyline. Like, no, you know what would make a great storyline?
Yeah, one of our coaches was a huge racist.
Here's the thing. We replace
homophobic.
Him. He comes back at halftime. There's a fight on the sidelines. Can you imagine the publicity that would get, the storyline?
So I cannot agree. Tom Brady was so right, because how are leaks coming out of an investigation, an internal investigation by the NFL? Who is leaking these things to the New York Times? If I'm John Gruden, I would say, what the hell, out of nowhere, I lose everything in my life because of the Washington football team, which I had absolutely nothing to do with.
Nothing to do with.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be so pissed.
Something about that glass houses and throwing stones thing might apply here to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, did he do all the stuff?
Everybody's got something somewhere where they go, I wish that.
John thought he was making private comments.
Yeah.
He didn't. It was to, you know, he didn't keep it Hotmail.
No.
So, you know. Keep it Hotmail.
Listen, don't ever write it down. Don't take pictures. Hey, idiots. Don't ever write it down.
I think the angle.
We got a break. We got Q Dog wants to talk Carlos Correa. Oh, okay. He's been in before. So we'll do that on the other side here on ESPN 97.5. Pat 40 at the bottom of the hour right here. Now I'm talking about Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford is my peeps, Patrick and Joe and all of the great people at Chastang Ford doing it in the business for. And here's the deal. I just got an email from them the other day. Hey, John, we'll come to you. Do you want to buy a car? And if you don't want to go to the dealership, we get that. Okay, we'll come to you. What? Really? They'll come to your house. Well, they'll deliver you the car to your house, because you can do it all online, and they'll deliver it to you for a test drive. And then you say, yeah, I like it, or no, I don't like it, whatever the case may be. They are so accommodating. They are all about service. I mean, when you work with their service department, when you're buying the car, it's unbelievable how hard that they work the deal at Ford. And they not only did that for me, they're going to do that for you as well. They are going to get every penny they possibly can for you to get into that Ford car or truck at the best value, at exact price that you have to be at, because that's what they do every single day. You want to do it online? You want them to come to your house? You want to go to their dealership? It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.